What would you change in your life? What if you could unleash the miraculous in your everyday life? Experience freedom. Live in peace. Change the world. Become Spirit Contemporary. Join Leon Fontaine, world-renowned conference speaker, senior pastor of Canada's fastest-growing church, and CEO of Canada's only Christian TV station.
When he says you can use my name, he is giving us the power of attorney.
In John 10:10, it says that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. So why is there such a disconnect between this biblical promise and how most Christians live today? Why have so many believers become spiritually weak and ineffective at sharing Jesus' message of love? The Spirit Contemporary life is the answer. It's being led by Holy Spirit, but in a contemporary way. It's being Jesus and demonstrating His love in ways people can understand and appreciate. Spirit Contemporary is unique for everyone. It never compromises the truth, and it never makes others feel uncomfortable. It's freeing yourself from religious constraints and walking freely in God's amazing grace for His purpose. The Spirit Contemporary life is absolutely crucial if the global church and her people are going to change the world. Later in the show, we'll tell you how you can reserve your copy of today's resource. Enrich your soul and renew your mind with this timely series. And now, from Winnipeg, Canada, Pastor Leon Fontaine.
One of my earliest memories that is burned into my head is in grade one, when in a little town called Weldon, Saskatchewan, where we spent a number of years as my father pastored there, I attended grades one through to nine there. But in grade one, I remember having a stomach ache so bad that I asked to go home, and it was a different time in those days in a little village, and so the teacher released me, and I began to walk home, and on the way home, my stomach got so crampy and sore, I literally lay down in the ditch, because I was walking on this road, there wasn't sidewalks there, and curled into a ball holding my tummy, and then I remember something that I had been taught every weekend in Sunday school, and by my parents, which was that I could use the name of Jesus whenever circumstances in my life were going against what Jesus had promised me. And I knew, even in grade one, that healing was for me. And that at the name of Jesus, I could use it. That there was something about it. Didn't understand it like I do today, but I knew that the name of Jesus brought healing. And so I remember just literally praying. I don't remember the prayer. I just remember using the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, in that little ditch or that little village, I sensed this incredible feeling that I've never forgotten. Here I am 50 years later, and I can't tell you about any other tummy ache that I had, and I had others, but I remember this one because of meeting with God. That's how I felt that day, as all of a sudden, like warm oil started at the top of my head and just came all down my body, and the pain totally left. I got up, went back to school. My teacher wanted to know what I was doing back here, and I said that my tummy ache left on the way home. But never despise Sunday schools and Christian schools, because I've got news for you. The memories that are logged into my heart and mind are the ones where I learned and developed in the power and the understanding of Jesus. I knew at a young age that He loved me and that He had given us His name, and that in His name, everything bows to the name of Jesus. And today I want to talk about this, because a lot of Christians actually don't understand how this works. Much of the body of Christ thinks that the word Jesus, the way it's put together, I guess, with its consonants and vowels, that it's kind of a magic incantation, which it's not. The name of Jesus is something we have to understand. Why is it powerful? To whom is it powerful? And how do you develop the power that is in the name of Jesus? Listen to this in the book of John. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." This is a stunning scripture, something we pass over too quickly, because he says, anything in my name. Now, some people think that the word ask is a pleading word. It is like a permission word, that you are asking for permission. But that's not what this word is used for here. In fact, the original word in this context has an uncertain origin. And so the translators put in the word ask. They could put in declare. They could put in pronounce. They could put in require. Whatever you acquire in my name, whatever you declare in my name, whatever you pronounce in my name, and those all would fit, as you look this up, within the same context, because in today's modern vernacular, the word ask is often used in a form of permission. I tell people sometimes, you know, when I'm sitting at the table with my family and the potatoes are way down the table, and I just say, "Hey, hon, could you pass the potatoes, please? I'm asking for it, but I'm not asking because I have to have permission to have the potatoes. It's just how we move food around a table with 17 people at it. And so in life, we have to understand that the name of Jesus and asking for things in that name, or declaring things in that name, requiring things in that name, is not commanding God around. It is not asking him for something that he has not done. It is literally using the name for what has already been given you. You are simply using the name to use the inheritance he's already won for you and has already been given to you through the name of Jesus. Now, one of the best ways to describe to people how this works, because we always read scripture recognizing when it was written, to whom it was written. So we have it in context. Recognize that the whole Bible is still written for us, and we must understand it. Today we have something called the power of attorney. How much power is that? Well, it always depends on how much they've got. See, the power of attorney is the right to access all they own, the right to make decisions in where they have authority. And so if you have next to nothing, the power of attorney doesn't give you much more. If you got $5 in the bank and own nothing, and I was to take over the power of attorney for you, I have power of attorney over $5 and nothing else. So when you look at the power of attorney, you look at what that person has, who they are, their influence, etc. And so when he says, "You can use my name," he is giving us the power of attorney over all that Jesus has authority over. And in the Bible, it teaches us in the Gospels, there Jesus says, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth." And then he says, "Now you go." And from that point on, it is the name used in authority. Now, there are places I cannot use the name where it has no authority. Let me give you an example. I cannot command you to do something in the name of Jesus and be able to use that authority, because God has made you an individual and given you authority over your life. Now, if you are attacking me, or you became a weapon against me. It is a very dangerous place to be, because I continually confess that no weapon formed against me prospers, and every mouth that rises against me, I put it down. And whatever enemy comes against me one way, they will flee before me seven ways. So you don't want to become an enemy to another believer, because then you can get into trouble. But I cannot use the name of Jesus to make you do something that is outside of the authority that it has been given for. But when it comes to sickness, disease, your prosperity, the blessing of God on your home, all of the promises of God that are in the Bible, this name, Jesus, it has the ability to unlock all of the power of God. Listen to another verse in John 16, 23 to 24. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. What? Jesus is telling his disciples, there's coming a day you're going to ask me for nothing. Verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. I want you to notice here that they had asked Jesus for everything. The disciples, if there was a problem, they'd line up behind Jesus while the demoniac ran at the whole group of them and fell on his face. It was Jesus that had to help them to calm the storm. It was Jesus that fed the thousands. You know, they're always asking Jesus for something. And now he's saying, you don't need to ask me for anything anymore. And this is an important teaching, because many people in the Christian world, while they're weeping and crying, saying, dear sweet Jesus, please help me, Jesus. Jesus, help me, help me, help me, Jesus. Where are you, Jesus? I need you, Jesus. And Jesus is saying, you don't ask me for anything anymore. What? He's saying, you pray to the Father and you use my name. And the name unlocks whatever inheritance that Jesus has won, whatever influence Jesus has, what authority, whatever power is in Jesus, is in his name as you believe. All right. So here then, another thing I want you to notice in John 16, 23 to 24 is that ask and you shall receive. Again, that word ask, yes, ask is accurate, but not in the way of, well, I sure hope he's going to do something. No, you are declaring, proclaiming, desiring, asking for something that has already been done. It is not an asking because they're going to vote on it amongst the angels. You know, the apostles aren't going to get together and say, well, Leon asked to get healed. Let's vote on it. Leon asked to prosper and to be blessed. Let's take a vote on it. No, you are simply using the, just like you would use your access card, your name, your face, whatever banking wants to use to give you access to your accounts, your resources, the name of Jesus has spiritual power to give you access to what you have inherited, but there is a caveat there. It is what you believe. So some only believe. Me, as a little six-year-old boy, I knew enough that Jesus' name, that healing was a part of me. And as a young guy growing up, I remember in grade school being chased by a dog and all of a sudden seeing this thing just, and it wasn't just a happy dog. And I remember using the name of Jesus and this thing just stopping and turning around, just walking off. Now, another interesting thing about the name of Jesus is a miracle that takes place in the book of Acts. It is a stunning teaching. Now, there's a lot of stories that took place. The Bible says the things Jesus did would have filled up, you know, books, incredible amount of books. But what is put into Scripture, what has been put into Holy Scripture, is always got a purpose. And if you don't, there's many things I've never understood till this year. I'll be reading the Word of God, and a beautiful understanding of this principle now opened up these verses, which I never understood before. So I didn't want to teach from them or misuse them, but I can see the clarity, and the same is true for you and I. Now, in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, we've got Peter and John who are going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And this is, a man was lame from his mother's womb, was being carried along, whom they used to set down every every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. Here's an interesting note. Maybe we'll talk about this another time. Jesus passed by this man for 3 years, and he was never healed. So for those who think that Jesus just walked indiscriminately and healed everybody he saw, you need to read the Word of God in context. There were times in his teaching that as he taught to certain groups of people, that there was such an understanding and faith that arose that he healed them all. But yet in his hometown, he couldn't heal anybody. There was a time by the pool, he went and he healed one man and walked off, and the entire pool was filled with people. So there's an interesting teaching in all of this. So this man had been sitting there from his birth. Now he's a full-grown man. And so he looks at Peter and John, and he says, "Alms for the poor." Peter looks at him and says, "Silver and gold have I none right now, but what I have, I give you." And the man looks at them expecting to receive. This word expecting to receive is powerful. Something is taking place. Hope is rising in this man. And Peter said, "Look on us." Today, religious people would say, "Don't look at us. We're nothing. We're just, you know." And I understand what they think they're saying. But Peter didn't operate that. He said, "Look on us." And the man looked on them expecting to receive. Then he said this, "In the name of Jesus Christ." And this man comes to his feet, I mean, laughing, dancing, praising God, goes into the temple. And Peter, I'm going to read one verse as Peter explains what happened. And it's very revealing when looking at the name of Jesus. And Peter says here, "On the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. And the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all." This name Jesus, all through the scriptures, it talks about giving glory to the name, the power in the name. It talks about using the name in prayer, using the name in authority. In Ephesians, as it teaches all the beautiful prayers that Paul would pray, one of the things it says at the end of one prayer, I believe it is chapter 3, that he's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, but it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, according to the power that is at work within you. This issue of faith, what do you know? What do you believe? My people perish for a lack of knowledge. You need to get into his word. Understand what is your inheritance. Understand what authority Jesus has, why it was transferred to you as well, because from the cross to the throne, when he said, "I've got to go to the Father so that I can send you Holy Spirit," and he's going to guide you in this. This name Jesus has been given to you. It is yours to use. And how powerful that name becomes from your lips is equally and proportionally attached to you knowing Jesus, to you knowing his word. And Holy Spirit's job is to cause this word to take root in your heart. Something rises up on the inside of you. Something rises up, not like this begging. It's like I was saying, if someone, you were shopping in a mall and some person came and grabbed your one-year-old toddler walking around you and just picked them up and didn't even run, just said, "This is my child." And you went, "What? This is my child." And you go, "Not a chance." Now, if you haven't already taken that person out, security's going to come. And you're not going to be going, "Well, I sure hope this works out. I sure hope that I can prove this is my child. Listen, this is totally wrong. This is my child." Now, you're not going to act like that. There is going to be this incredible strength that rises up on the inside of you. "How dare you touch my child?" And I think we need to understand that when you have rights and privileges and an inheritance with all the promises of God in the Word, stop acting like you don't have them, that they're not yours, but instead, we're not using the name of Jesus from a place of weakness, hoping. We're using the name of Jesus from a place of incredible power and authority, because you, my friend, are seated with Jesus. You know, you are with him in heavenly places, meaning that his authority has been transferred to you as well. It's not gone from him, but he's the head, we're the body. And so when you begin to understand, it's no longer, well, I sure hope I don't get sick. It's no, it is my right and my privilege, done with the name of Jesus. It is for sure. It's he died on the cross, and it is a part of the promises of God he has qualified me for. This kind of a strength that rises up on the inside of you, only can it be Holy Spirit and the Word doing a work in your heart. You can put it on like I just did. It won't do a thing. You can put on confidence, put on anger, but human faith won't acquire the promises, and it won't get you more authority. But this quiet meditation of learning, reading, studying the Scriptures, and knowing what Jesus has done, and recognizing it, and that Holy Spirit go to work on your heart till something rises up on the inside of you. And the Bible says that the victory that overcomes anything in the world, grows anything in the world, like family, home, finances, health, that it is by faith. Where does faith come from? It comes from God's Word, from the Word of God. To all the lazy people who are watching this, and of course there's no one here, if you don't study the Word, if you do not meditate in the Word, if you do not get to know Jesus, so you begin to connect with him at the heart level, and this relationship with Jesus and the Word, which are one, that is where something rises up on the inside of you. And when you use the name Jesus, something within you, when I just say something and I just say in Jesus' name, something inside of me leaps with all the authority that I've studied and all that I'm aware of with God's Word and how Holy Spirit has helped plant that in my heart, until there's a sense of ownership, a sense that is all wrapped into that word, Jesus. I want you to get into his Word. Learn that this name is not magic. This name unleashes everything that is on the inside of you. It has the ability to unleash all of the power of Jesus Christ into any situation. But if you are ignorant of the Word, not meditated in the Word, not planted it in your heart, then there's this knowing mentally, but not this connection at the heart level. God, the God kind of faith doesn't come out of your head. It comes out of your heart.
Thank you for tuning in to the show today. Not only can today's message be powerfully effective in your life, but it can also change someone else's eternity. So today, I'm asking you to make a call that only you can make. Would you join our family of partners, individuals who make it possible for this program to reach people all over the world? And when you give generously today, I'm going to send you my audio series, Pray with Power. Through this series, you'll discover the 9 different types of prayer and how you can apply it to your everyday life. Effective prayer makes tremendous power available in every situation. And you can get it working for you. You too can pray with power. So call, go online, but partner with us today. I want to send this to you. You know, so few people understand that their words have power. When you look at words, everyone thinks they are simply for communication, that words are simply me trying to get you to understand something I'm trying to communicate. And I think that that's a little part of it. But did you know that God released his power with his words? When Jesus walked the planet, he spoke words. He didn't like snap his fingers or fling his arm or lightning bolts through his hands. He spoke words. And the Bible says that those words went out and accomplished the things they had been sent forth to do. So what are your words saying about relationships, health, etc.? You might have to communicate to a doctor your feelings, the things that are going on in your body. You may have to communicate to a banker where you are in finances, and you might have to renegotiate payments. You know, we need to speak truth as far as what is happening. But then in your prayer time and in your regular speaking, let them be words of victory, that God is within you and you will overcome, that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and he addeth no sorrow to it, that you are convinced. That these words, so many people, they kind of have this dual life, that they talk about all their problems and then they'll throw this little cloth, but we're believing God. No, where your words are, what you say regularly to your friends, how you talk about your problems to your spouse, your friends, how you speak about things to those around you, it's releasing power. So make sure that your words are declaring the end from the beginning, that as far as you're concerned, it is done. Negative things, pain, sickness, disease, power have no right in my life. And so because of Jesus, I am blessed. The favor of God is upon me, and I will not accept the negative things. Your words have power. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Father, let this truth just move into their hearts and minds in a powerful way and help them to watch their tongue and help them to speak words of life and to prophesy to their future, even in their conversations with others, and to see the power of that in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's no accident that you watch today's show. You are special and you have a destiny to fulfill. Our media ministry reaches some of the darkest corners of the world, and your support is what makes this possible week after week. You are vital. You can change a life. Act today. And remember, this amazing resource will be yours as our way of saying thank you.